taking the shots no other show dares to take.
Aubrey Bruce, straight, no chaser.
Offering analysis and opinions on the biggest names in sports.
You're talking about Aubrey Bruce.
A sports talk show dedicated to covering every move the team, players, coaches, and executives make.
Straight, no chaser.
Covering all sides of the story.
The educational platform for us to educate that, you know, all that necessary.
Get your audience into the game. The clock is ticking.
Hey guys, welcome to Straight Up No Chaser. I'm your host, Aubrey Bruce, on this sort of weird Sunday morning. The weather's looking weird, but you know, I'm doing my thing. I'm here with Ray Porter and also Trevin Jones, producer and the brainchild behind Straight Up No Chaser. And I wanted to go on various subjects, but I want to start this Sunday talking about the famed Courier sports editor, managing editor, and Steelers scout, Bill Nunn. And I happen to be part of Bill Nunn's life. He's part of my life for over 40 years. And I'm just saying that when I didn't read the paper this week, I wrote my article, and paper always sends me something in the mail. And when I went to my office, went to my mail slot, went to the sports section, lo and behold, I see Bill Nunn and me on the front page of the sports section. And Urban Media Today has such a great place in it, because I'm going to tell you why. I was recording on May 7, 2014 at the Urban Media Today at Alan Lincoln's offices in Riverside Sales Group. And I looked into the office at Alan Lincoln, and he was giving me a sign, like almost like time out. So when I finished the segment, I came back out. And Alan Lincoln, of course, has been with Sheridan Broadcasting and former president of Radio Division of Sheridan. So I've known him for a long time. And I came out of the office, he said, you know, Bill Nunn passed away last evening. And I was totally floored because I hadn't checked out the news or anything. So I said, I'm glad we're finished, Alan, because I'm going to leave. So I went and I called, Bill's daughter and talked for a moment. And I called Bubby, who was, you know, Bill Nunn the third, Do the Right Thing, Sister Act. And I called Bubby and we talked for a minute. And it wasn't for Alan Lincoln, I wouldn't have known that. But the thing about it is that I can't even remember my total response because my mind kind of went somewhere else. Because I went back to maybe a year before that, John Harris, formerly of the Tribune Review, and myself had been bumping into Mr. Nunn over at the Steelers Complex. And so one day we came in, and he looked at me with that usual gleam in his eye. He said, boy, are you all right? Now, a lot of people from the South, I almost snapped to attention. A lot of people from the South don't like that term boy, but if Bill Nunn called you boy, that means you was in. You know what I mean? He was formal with you. And a lot of folks don't know that Bill Nunn and my other mentor, former managing editor of the Pittsburgh Courier, basically started the Black College All-Stars and the voting for that. And so being under that, Wendell Smith, Bill Nunn, Ulysses Carter, taught me a lot about scouting, taught me a lot about black football, and taught me a lot about the impact that Bill Nunn would have on Pittsburgh. Now, Ray, you being one of the younger crew, and I got you by about a couple of decades, what do you think about Bill Nunn in terms of his impact on football?
I mean, what a legacy. My first interactions with him was when I started media, and I would just cover the Pitt side. As you know, the Steelers and the Pitt Panthers share the same facility. Southside facility. So on one end is the Panthers, the other end is the Steelers. So I would come out of the Pitt news conferences and wonder. And at the time, I was still kind of young when it came to media. So I'm thinking,
you think?
So I'm thinking, can we get access?
Right.
And eventually, Alan and I talked about it. And we was like, just go for it.
Right.
So, but as I would walk back to my car, I would see a lot of the Steelers going back and forth. And then I would see Mr. Nunn.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I appreciated about him was just his personable personality. I mean, he knew me from a can of paint. He came out and spoke to me.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, how you doing, Mr. Nunn? He said, hey, how you doing? You doing all right? I'm doing well, thank you. And we had various conversations. I guess you could say parking lot conversations.
Mm-hmm.
So I was pretty floored, too, to hear that he passed away. Now, even going back further than that, I would read up about him. I mean, his history with the 1974 draft is just legendary, man. I mean,
four players from one draft class, all in the Hall of Fame.
And what he did with Star Wars, though, that was hilarious. He hid the film.
Yes, he did.
So somebody else could pick up on him. Also, I had bought this book a year ago, and it's called Their Life's Work. So you've probably heard of it. And it speaks a lot about how he broke into scouting with Pittsburgh because, you know, obviously he started off at the Carrier and his history. But he had trouble getting credentials. And just I read about that history, and Dan Rooney worked hard and finally convinced him, and it all worked out. So he paved the way. I mean, you can honestly say he was a Jackie Robinson when it came to Jack Black Media. I have to say that. What about you?
Oh, yeah. I agree with you totally, Ray, because of the fact that his acumen, being a journalist, that sort of got their attention because his analysis was so spot on that when they said, wait a minute, this guy's more than a writer. He's analyzing these Black players. And so subsequently, it was a situation they were saying, well, you know what, how can we utilize this more? So I think that you're absolutely right that he went beyond just being a writer. Now, you talked about that, but also during that time, Ulysses Carter, who was been mentored by Mr. Nunn, he basically couldn't even get credentials for the Pirates. They made him stand outside the Pirates' locker room, you know, before he could even go. He wasn't allowed to interview players in the locker room. They had to wait until they came out. So then it made it a little bit more easier for the Courier to get access to the Steelers after Dad Nunn got in because now we had access to the NFL, and that opened up some things more for the Pirates. They were saying, well, if they have access to the Steelers, something else is breaking. So just like you and me, the difficulty we may have had in terms of gaining access, it took something to really sculpture the way for us to get in the door as journalists.
That's awesome. That's very incredible. Something else I was thinking of, too. Someone should write a book about them. You know?
They just did.
They just did?
Andrew Conte. It's on the Courier Sports section. It's called The Killer of Sundays. They're honoring Mr. Nunn on Sunday night.
Well, okay, I'm gonna get that book.
Before the game. And they have a picture of me in my wrinkled fat shirt because I, you know, I was sweating at La Trobe. And they have a picture of Mr. Nunn standing by the four Super Bowl trophies.
That's great.
And I was telling Mr. Rooney years ago that, you know, my father was an electrical engineer, so I didn't come from my father's home. I ain't need a dad or none of that. And my mother was a registered nurse. But I truly, at times, I wondered if I loved Bill Nunn more than my father. You know, he just had that much of an impact on me. And I know for a fact, he loved the NFL. He loved the Black schools, the Southern schools.
Right.
And Trevor, I know you're an announcer with HBCU. And what do you have to say about Bill Nunn? Because you're still working with Black colleges.
Oh, yes, sir. I'm still the voice of the Howard University Bison. So, you know, this being a Sunday, did my thing yesterday. And I'm enjoying it and loving it. Now, that's interesting. You said they honored Bill Nunn last Sunday, which was long overdue, I think.
Agreed.
The thing that interested me was, and I like the way you called him Dad Nunn. That's kind of cool. I wasn't able to be close enough to where I could have the experience that Ray had or that you had to actually cross paths with him. But covering HBCU football, the first thing I heard was, yes, back in the 50s, Bill Nunn was recruiting from the HBCUs in the NFL. And if you have, and for those fans who aren't quite as astute, you got to remember there weren't a lot of Black players coming through the league at that time.
This is true.
And if they were coming through, they were the outstanding players. And this is a crazy thing, a lot of HBCUs like Grambling State was producing a lot of NFL players. And then you have Alabama A&M, where Frank Stallworth came from. He came to the Steelers via Dad Nunn.
Sure did.
Which I like. But the thing that just it just the thing that just astonished me was, how do you get Lynn Swann and then get a Frank Stallworth?
It's
Frank
crazy.
Stallworth, that, as you said, they hit his film so nobody else could see who he was.
That's right.
And Lynn Swann went to USC. Then you get Mean Joe Green was the one, though. And Mean Joe Green didn't even go to an HBCU.
That's right.
Right.
But Dad Nunn was pivotal in recruiting Mean Joe Green, who went to Texas, a small school.
Fort Valley.
Mean Green. No, he went to Texas.
East Texas.
Texas State.
East Texas.
Right. Yeah, which is called the Mean Green. And that's not an HBCU. Right. So I just thought that was just amazing how Bill Nunn was covering all of football, but he had his thumbprint on HBCU football because he knew that, like, the James Shaq Harrises were there. He knew that the Doug Williams were there.
Right.
He knew that back in the day, there was this, I think Bob Hayes came from Florida A&M.
That's right.
And I know Bill Nunn didn't recruit him, but he knew he existed.
But he scouted him.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So he knew, and we're talking Bullet Bob Hayes. For the millennials, like I always say, if you don't know what I'm talking about, Google it.
That's
Bullet
right.
Bob Hayes, who was a fantastic wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys back in the day.
Yeah,
He went to HBCU. So, I mean, it's just amazing how Dad Nunn, as you said, and I like that. I like that terminology.
Right. Yeah.
Was instrumental. If I'm going to say one more thing, Aubrey, you did mention the Black College All-American team, which now is kind of is still out there, but not in the same form that it was. They started that back in the 1950s.
Well, actually, they started it in the mid '60s.
Was it the '60s?
Okay. Around 63, 64. And the thing about it was, Ulysses Carter had become a sports editor of the Courier, so Mr. Nunn wanted something to basically showcase him. So he called him and said, we're going to meet with Wendell Smith and we're going to start the Black College All-Star and stuff. So they got over there and they went to talk and Mr. Carter said, well, he didn't say much. And Mr. Nunn said, well, what are you going to do, right? So, and Ulysses Carter, of course, everybody knows was my mentor for 4 decades.
Okay.
And my thing is that it got me because if you look at the HBCU, that was important because you had a lot of Black players who weren't accepted to white schools. Alabama, Texas A&M, they couldn't go to white schools. Mm-hmm. So they had to be at traditional Black schools. So Mr. Nunn had to be a hybrid between the small Black schools and the regular schools and the powers, the Texas and the USCs. And because, in fact, he had to kind of glean a lot of players from both of those from those sectors in football. Mm-hmm. So that made him very, very great. I remember he told me something, and this doesn't have anything to do with football. I was covering the Pirates, and Al Martin was playing outfield for the Pirates, was getting ready to get traded to San Diego. So it wasn't, they were going to wait till maybe, I think, the beginning of the next season or during the off season. So I got a tip from a source that Al Martin had committed bigamy. So I could have broke this through. I probably could have got $100,000 from it, you know. But so I said, Mr. Nunn, I called him on the phone. I said, what should I do? He said, is it going to make you life-changing money? Is it going to change your family life? Is it going to change you spiritually? I said, no, sir. He said, well, hold on to it. So I held on to it. Don't you know, spring training, L. Martin's second wife came down there with a gun in spring training and caused all types of mess, right?
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
And L. called me on the phone, and I tried not to get teary-eyed with this. He says, you know, Aubrey, if you'd have broke that, I would have never got my deal with the Padres. I would have been scrapped. So he taught me character and moral as being a journalist and reporter, that everything's not all about the money. Most of the time it is, but there are those instances you cannot and should not deal with a subject or a person just because of the dollars.
Speaking of dollars, I got to ask you this question. Is it true that Bill Nunn Sr., Dad Nunn, he actually started as a part-time scout?
That's why he was, because in those days, you know, you didn't have full-time, African-American scouts on NFL staffs. So it's just like I was staff writer for the Courier, then I went freelance. So he was like a freelance scout.
Wow.
But he was smart enough to know that, look, as he brought players through and they became successful, then he knew he had some leverage. So somewhere along the line, someone said, I don't know for sure, but someone had said to Art Rooney, senior, the chief, said, you know what, we better hold on to this guy. But if Paul Brown grabs him or Sid Gilman grabs him with the scouting stuff, we're going to be SOL. Yeah. So that's when I think that was enough motivation for the Steelers to sign him on as assistant personnel director.
I'm sure. Absolutely.
And that's why we call it Straight No Chaser with Aubrey Bruce. Because Aubrey has all of the information.
Mm-hmm.
And you brought up Dad Nunn. But did he set a prototype for scouts? Was he kind
Yeah,
of
he
a,
did.
Go ahead.
He did. And the thing about it, that was an acumen of Chuck Noll and Dad Nunn together. Mm-hmm. Because before Bill Nunn and Chuck Noll, even Paul Brown, everybody was drafting like this, which is the best linebacker, the best defensive lineman, the best running back. They started the acumen of the best athlete available. Okay, we'll get an athlete. We'll bring him into our system and sculpture him the way we want him. So a lot of times you'd be a running back and Chuck Noll and Bill Nunn would say, well, I see him more as a linebacker or a safety, okay? So they'd bring him in and they would re-sculpture where he was. So they started the acumen of draft the best player available as opposed to the best position available. And they started that.
Okay. Wow. And, I've always wondered that too.
Yeah, and my last question about Bill Nunn Sr., he kind of ended his career the way he started, because even when he was with the Steelers through the Super Bowls, through all six Super Bowls, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken,
that's right.
he was semi-retired and still a scout.
Oh, yeah.
So that's like part-time scout when you start part-time scout.
Oh, yeah. Something? Everything makes it all the way around. And that's why when I wrote Portrait of Attorney when he died, I had said that for me, it was scary, because when I would go to the Trobe, and we have dorm rooms at the Trobe for the writers, but I didn't get a dorm room until probably about 20-some years ago. At that point, I always had to go up to the Steelers and cover them and leave. And so one night, I was getting ready to leave, and Dad Nunn came out, said, "Boy, you didn't bring no extra clothing? You ain't going to stay over the weekend?" I said, no, sir, I haven't, been given permission to do that. So he said, "Okay, well, you go on in there. I'm gonna go show your room. You go on in there." And took me over to this little shop somewhere in Greensburg. Next day, and got me a couple pairs of shoes and some other stuff, right? So I stayed the whole weekend. That was my first weekend staying at the Trobe.
It's pretty
so,
cool.
So my thing is that I've always respected Bill Nunn. I respected the Steelers. Yeah. But you could talk about Chuck Noll. You could talk about Art Rooney, the first and the second, Dan Rooney. But I want to put it to you this way. You can't take a mule to the Kentucky Derby, To win, you got to have the horses. I don't care how pretty your track is. I don't care how good your staff is. When you put that mule in the starting gate and it opens, that mule is going to be last. So the Steelers didn't have the horses. That's why they were always last. So it took the analysis of Chuck Noll and Bill Nunn not to only draft great players for Pittsburgh, but to give the whole NFL another drafting format from which they could, a template from which they could draw from.
Wow. And talking about a thoroughbred, now I want you to verify this if you can. I was reading some information where I know Bill Nunn Sr. went to West Virginia State University, mm-hmm. Which is an HBCU, by the way.
Hooping.
Hooping.
Yeah.
And he was on a team that finished undefeated.
Yeah.
26-0, I think. Mm-hmm. But that's the interesting thing. It gets even more interesting than that. His teammates were Chuck Cooper and Earl Lloyd.
Is that crazy?
Chuck Cooper would become what? The first black player drafted to the NBA?
That's right.
And then Earl Lloyd would become the first player to play in the NBA? And yes. They were teammates with Bill Nunn Sr.?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's insane.
That's just, when you, it's just the, when you talk about thoroughbreds, it's like he was coming from good stock, and then he was amongst other talented players. And all three of them went on to leave their mark in history.
Wow.
True that.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that, I tell you, Kevin, I was appalled. And I can say appalled. I'm saying appalled because that's a nice word. There was a lady who's a community activist. I'm not going to say her name. The day Bill Nunn had died. I just left you guys' studios over in Chatham Center when you were over there. So I'm downtown, and she saw me. She said, "How you doing, Arby?" I said, "I'm a little sad. My adopted dad passed away, Bill Nunn." She said, "Who's that?"
Oh, wow.
Now, she's a woman that was probably 5 years older than me. Mm-hmm. Only thing she knew was Satchel Paige and Josh Gibson. And I was so angry. I was like, I am tired of people polishing tombstones. Okay, you polishing tombstones. Bill Nunn was polishing Lombardi trophies. Mm-hmm. So we have to get out of that thing about resting on our laurels and every time. I mean, I have 17 articles that was judged by the Smithsonian, but that's past stuff. We as black journalists, white journalists, all of us have to say that all history and all figures in history are valuable, whether they're white, black, Asian, or whatever their gender or their race might be.
Wow. I'm feeling the show. This is your second. Let me ask you this question. This is Straight Up No Chaser with Aubrey Bruce, and this is the second show. So we did the first show a week ago. Now we're doing the second one. And right away, you're already pointing out the fact that Bill Nunn Sr. was just honored. And Bill Nunn Sr., a lot of people don't know about.
Exactly.
I know us as sports people would know, but maybe some millennials or younger generation.
Right. It's true.
They don't have a clue.
No, they don't.
So I like the way that you're. Can we expect more of this from you?
Yeah, I would like to maybe subdivide some stuff to give history without making the present a mystery. Because I don't want to rely too much on historical stuff, because I want to honor Andrew McCutchen. I want to honor the Josh Gibsons. I want to honor LeBron James. I want to honor Steph Curry. I want to honor James Harrison. These guys that are making impact now, the Le'Veon Bells, the Antonio Browns, because, you know, but I will not let them forget where they came from. Antonio Browns already got paid. Le'Veon Bell's going to get paid. But I was covering NFL when Joe Green and those guys, they had to work an extra job. You know, period. So the money was not there. You talk about, you know, these cats that were that are Hall of Famers, you know, Big Daddy Lipscomb, these guys, they had to work an extra job. The money was not there for them. And so I think that it's our obligation to basically kind of be in hybrid, a hybrid of historical perspective and a hybrid of the present perspective.
That's awesome. What else are we going to talk about today?
Oh, I heard some guys on the phone the other day, and I definitely need, and we got Big Brother Vince on the scene, you know. Hey, Vince, I definitely want to talk about Tiger Woods, okay? I heard some station, it was some sort of station, I think it was from the West Coast, it was on Sirius XM, I was listening to that. They were talking about, it was a travesty that Tiger Woods won, got all his attention, and got all his money in the midst of the Me Too thing, right? Now, I became very, very incensed because you have a president who talked about grabbing people in between the legs and disrespecting women and the so-called allegations against the Supreme Court, soon to be justice or not be. But my thing is, Tiger Woods, do you think he's paid his dues, Vince?
Absolutely. I mean, he didn't serve time.
Right.
But you can look at, you know, the fall of his career and having to work his way back up to where it is now. Mm-hmm. You can certainly say he paid his dues.
Oh, yeah?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Now I was reading from Fox.com that 2010 that his wife got a $750 million mm-hmm. settlement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, if that's not paying dues, I don't know what it is. And my thing is that even as part of that settlement, he was banned from letting his girlfriends near his kids. Mm. You know, so all these other specifics in terms of his conduct, you know, it was like, I mean, do you understand that, Vince?
I mean, he didn't commit a crime.
Exactly.
You know,
that's what I'm saying.
I mean, morally, yeah, he made some bad decisions. From my understanding, all the women, like, he didn't force himself
exactly.
on all these women. These were consenting adults. I mean, it wasn't right what
right.
he did because
right.
because he did it, you know, in, out of his marriage.
Right.
But so, yeah, morally speaking, yeah, he did some things wrong. But, yeah, he certainly financially he's paid for it. I mean, I think he lost endorsements right. because of it. But, I think people like to pour down those who have risen to the top.
Exactly. Or reclaimed and redeemed themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I was going over it. Now, his wife at that time, she was 30 years old, and it says she got the biggest payout ever in a scene in a celebrity divorce. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing is that we have a president who paid $150,000 or whatever mm-hmm. You know, to hide stuff,
right.
and yet Tiger's life was made totally public, every aspect right. of it. And he, on top of that, he had to pay $750 million.
Right.
So I'm saying that, do you think there's a double standard in terms of how celebrities, especially African American celebrities, in athletics, are concerned?
Absolutely, I don't think it's. I think it's by design.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we mess up, you know, the spotlight is that much brighter to try to bring us down. I think historically speaking, it's mm-hmm. it's always been that way. Like, you know, things that we do. Whether it's a crime, it's morally unjust, or whatever,
mm-hmm.
I think there's a concerted effort to pull us down or you know not allow us
right.
to stay at that level. Whereas counterparts are, you know, those that are riding the same wave of celebrity status,
mm-hmm.
Monetary gains, sort of get a pass,
right. Right.
And no, it's not right, but it's something we've had to endure for a lot of years.
I mean, even those our own guy here in Pittsburgh, our Ben Roethlisberger, okay, just came out the other day that Stormy Daniels now has accused him of improper conduct towards her. So I think it's spread all the way across the board.
I mean, what we talk about, you know, having to pay the price. What price did he pay?
Not too much.
I mean, people have forgotten. I mean, there were two rape allegations.
Exactly.
In addition to, you know, Stormy Daniels, her accusations. That's not to be taken lightly.
That's right.
But it is.
It is, of course. Okay. and what do you think about that, Trevin, in terms of the double standards, in terms of public relations and certain moral things that happen, or immoral things that happen, if you will?
This is Aubrey Bruce Straight, No Chaser, right?
Yeah.
So I can be straight.
Yes, you can be, please.
No, I'm going to have to kind of soften the blow a little bit. But
okay,
there's definitely a double standard. In reference to Tiger Woods, like you said, and I said to you guys even last year, Tiger Woods and Serena Williams do not have to play another match or another golf course, another round of golf ever again. They've already proved themselves. Mm-hmm. I think right now Tiger is just, you know, he's going for that record as far as, you know, major championships, which I commend him on. He came back from four back surgeries?
Four back surgeries. Yeah.
He came back from four back. Now, that's the key with Tiger. You know, this off the course stuff, yes, you can talk about that. That's something to overcome. But he physically had to overcome four back surgeries to actually pull off a win a few weeks ago, which is, that in itself is extraordinary when you look at his age. So I think that I'm tired of all the BS, so to speak. You just give players credit where credit is due. Because I'm one of those people where, see, in today's society, just in my opinion, we try to rewrite history. You can't rewrite history. No. That's why it's history. So we try to change history so that moving forward, it will be looked at differently. So when you're looking at black athletes, and I'm going to go there, there's a double standard because when you look at a Ben Roethlisberger, who I'm still not a Ben Roethlisberger fan, by the way, mind you, because even when they got that win a week ago, when they were playing, who were they playing?
Bay.
Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay.
When they got that win there, Ben didn't look good.
Oh, okay. He didn't.
Then they played the Baltimore Ravens last weekend. We know that, but I'm not a fan. But that being said, as Vince said, there was two rape allegations with Ben Roethlisberger. That was swept under the rug.
Yeah.
Jameis Winston just came off a suspension.
Exactly.
For being accused of groping someone that nobody saying it was proven.
That's
nobody
right.
said. And he got a 3-game suspension. All right, Ben Roethlisberger, what'd he get? Nothing. And Ben Roethlisberger didn't even make national headlines with that until he had a motocycle accident.
That's right. That's right.
So that's the injury to Ben, not to the person that he had or the people that he. So this is definitely a double standard. I don't think I even have to say any more when you use those examples.
I mean, even if we go retro a minute and just delve into the other side of entertainment, there was a thing when Sammy Davis Jr. Married the Swede Mae Britt, you know, and it was a thing that he was hanging out with Frank Sinatra, and they were caught in the Dirty Dozen or whatever. But as soon as that happened, they all cut their association with him. Dean Martin, all these guys, except Frank Sinatra.
Right. I never knew that.
The Rat Pack.
The Rat Pack. And the thing is, it's a situation that he was almost stripped of everything. He, like Tiger, had to rebuild his economic base because they stripped him. The IRS came on and did a bunch of stuff. So what I'm saying, it was a situation where if you violated that unspoken code of interracial dating or marriage, there was a price you was going to have to pay. And if we hit fast forward to Tiger, he violated that, and he had to pay the same price in the new millennium. So his wife never putted one time, never hit one putt, you know, never hit one drive, but she got $750 million.
Yeah.
And it said that they basically, her lawyers were saying, and I'm quoting from the Fox article, that the price of the huge sum is her silence. You know, quote, Ellen's legal team have done a great job digging up all sorts of assets. And so the thing about it, it said, just like with Mae Britt, when Sammy Davis Jr. went basically bankrupt, okay, basically she got dough, right? Fast forward to Tiger. So it's a situation where what Ben did, after this stuff happened, he went and got married.
Right.
So to give a cosmetic remedy to something that was going on. So I think, I'm just thinking, this is just my opinion, that It's a double standard all the way across the board in athletics.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And so, and Aubrey, this is straight up with Aubrey Bruce, and man, we can expect more of this as the season goes on. Because, I mean, this is show number two. Show number one was hot when we kicked off the big weekend last weekend. What can we expect in the upcoming weekends?
Well, I kind of put my thermometer and gauge on what's happening, but also put my thermometer and gauge on you guys, because I really want to be a sponge in terms of what my fellow journalists are thinking, what the public is thinking, because that's how I craft what I do. Probably 90% of it doesn't come from me, because without the leadership of the public and my fellow journalists, I'd be writing on paper without any ink, you know. So it's a thing that I really need to tap into you guys' thoughts, because that motivates me. So I think that as we go along, whatever subject is important, I'm not going to say hot subjects, we're not a fad, and we don't go with the fad. Whatever important, I think, to the listeners across the globe, I hope that we can bring something that they can latch on to that. So I just thank everybody, Trevin Jones, I thank Brother Vince and Ray Porter, and I'm Aubrey Bruce, just for being here, and thanking you guys for listening. And remember, if you want to hear some truth serum stuff, you know, if you want to hear it straight from the horse's mouth, you got to tune in to Straight Up No Chaser. See you guys next week.
Taking the shots no other show dares to take.
Aubrey Bruce, Straight No Chaser.